Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. It is the end of a jump season on Saturday, and we've got a very special show to mark the end of a season with six races from Sandown previewed by our expert panel. We're also looking at two races on the flat at Haydock and Leicester, and turning attention, of course, to that all-important titles race between Dan Skelton and Willie Mullins. But before that, we do have another champion to crown on Saturday. That is, of course, Sean Bowen, who completes a simply magnificent season. Second, of course, in the championship last year, but closing in on 175 winners and all set to win his first title and become the first Welshman to be crowned champion jockey since 1954. He's also now an Irish Grand National winner, as we saw he win on Haiti Colours on Monday. And Sean Bowen is a very special guest on the Postcast. And we hear from him now about what has been a pretty phenomenal season. What an absolute pleasure it is to be joined by the champion jockey-elect, Sean Byrne. Sean, soon to be champion jockey, has it quite sunk in yet? How are you feeling ahead of a weekend?
Yeah, probably not quite sunk in yet. Obviously, immensely proud to be picking up the trophy on Saturday. And When you're champion jockey, that's all you ever want to be. So it probably hasn't quite sunk in.
Yeah, I mean, look, last season, perhaps a little unfortunate not to win it, had you not had that injury in the winter time. Very much spurred on to win, I imagine, this season.
Yeah, obviously didn't want that to happen again. I was off 6 or 7 weeks last season with my knee injury, and was gutted that I couldn't be champion jockey last year and wasn't going to let that happen again this year.
Yeah, and look, it's a long season in terms of a championship. You know, you're starting pretty much the first few weeks of May all the way through. Just talk us through what that lifestyle is like, because you can't ever really take your foot off the gas, can you?
Yeah, well, it just isn't a life, to be honest. It's all racing or nothing, really. So, literally racing every single day, all summer, all winter. We get very few days off, and we get 2 weeks, which is our only break. So, as you know, there's racing every single day, whether it be summer or winter or any other time of the year. So, you just have to go get as many rides as you possibly can, and hopefully a few of them win.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you mind talking us through what a typical Sean Byrne day chasing the championship looks like? When you're getting up, when you're sort of going off to races, how are you managing everything you've got to deal with life, I guess?
Yeah, it all depends on if I'm riding out or not. But to be honest with you now, I'm that busy, and I don't live that close to many yards. So I don't actually get a chance to ride out as much as probably a lot of jockeys do. So, yeah, it all depends on where I'm going. Obviously, I'll be racing every single day. So, get up on a day I'm not riding out, get up at 7 and leave. Or if it's going to Holly Murphy's yard, it's getting up at 5 and riding a few lots out before going racing. So, yeah, look, it's very busy. Probably different to a lot of jockeys, because most jockeys would ride out every day. I'd probably only ride out once or twice a week, just because I'm so busy and, like I said, not near to many yards. So it just never stops, really.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you'll know more than anyone, you're dealing with a lot more losses and defeats than you are wins. I mean, having to deal with that on a daily basis as a sportsman, you know, you think of other sports, whether it's football or rugby or team sports, where not only are they in a team, you're on your own. I know you've got owners and other connections, but you're dealing with that. And also, you know, you have to pick yourself up quite quickly, don't you? It's a really mental toil as well.
Yeah, you just have to take the highs and lows very, very well. I think that's probably something I am quite good at, is taking the lows really well. And if you take the lows well, that's the main part of the sport, really, because there's plenty of lows, but you have to take them well and forget about them and move on to the next one. You'd be racing the next race or the next day. So, if you're dwelling on it too long, you won't go out and do your best on the next one. So, mental side of it is any bit as important as the riding or the fitness or anything like that. That the mental side of it is one of the biggest biggest aspects to becoming champion jockey. Yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of physical riding, I mean, you seem to be going better than ever. I mean, was it a five timer the other day? I mean, you decided not to slow down really towards the end. You've certainly not put your feet up since you think you've done enough. Do you feel you're riding better than ever? Does it feel that way? Is it a confidence thing?
No, I do, yeah. But obviously, I think connections I've built has obviously been a massive part of that. Obviously, Ollie Murphy, I've ridden 96 winners for him this season, which is a crazy amount for 1 yard. So Ollie's yard is obviously growing massively, and obviously that support is obviously a big help.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, I don't know how Monday would sit, and it won't count towards your championship, Hoity Colours in the Irish Grand National. Where does that rank on Sean Byrne winners? Right up there, surely.
Oh yeah, bang up there. I'd say before Monday, my best days in racing was probably winning the Topham Chase for my parents and family, but that's definitely equaled it. So they'd be my two best days in racing now.
Yeah, talk us through the race. You saw that it looked, I mean, from the naked eye, a little bit pestered for the lead, but he didn't half win quite well watching it back.
Yeah, no, I was always in second gear. I was up sides the whole way, and he wasn't too pestered, to be honest. He got in a really good rhythm. He jumped very, very well. Literally the whole way around, I felt like I was in second gear, and turning in, I obviously winged four out, and I was able to sit on him all the way around the bend and down to three out, and then had plenty left from the back of the last. So he's a very strong staying horse, but he's obviously a very good horse as well. And grateful to Connections for letting me back on him. He was obviously my ride before Cheltenham, and I had to get off him at Cheltenham. So grateful I was allowed back on him as well.
Yeah, I bet you were half glad that all your work building him up through the season and Ben took the reward. I bet you're glad you could have your moment in the sun with him.
Yeah, no, I was gutted at Cheltenham that I couldn't ride him, and even I rode him obviously in his few novice chases where he won. I rode him in his prep run over hurdles, just getting ready for Cheltenham. Had a nice run, didn't get knocked about, and looked after him, and then when I couldn't ride him, was obviously gutted. So one thing I would say, he's been trained to perfection. He was, like I said, had his few novice chase runs, then he had his run over hurdles at Newbury, just to make sure his mark didn't move too much for Cheltenham, and then rolled on to Fairy House. So it was all very exciting.
Yeah, before we go on to the weekend, I mean, we're getting quotes of 16-1 with our sponsors, Unibet, for the Grand National, 33-1 for the Gold Cup. I mean, after the race, it's hard not to get excited with a horse like him who seems to be improving, and he's still pretty young for a chaser as well. What direction do you see him in, and how exciting is he going to be over the summer? Well, think about it.
Look, if he was trained for a national, I'd imagine he'd probably go into the race favourite if he was sort of trained for the race. I actually haven't spoke to Becky since the race, but I did listen to the Unbridled podcast the other day, where she said that he'll be trained as if he can be a good horse. He'll go for a couple of nice races early on in the season and then just see where we're at. And look, if he doesn't end up a Gold Cup horse, he'll definitely end up a national horse. So, he's an exciting horse for next season.
One more question before we go on to Sandown. The one horse you're most excited about next season?
Oh, probably Haiti Claw. Yeah, obviously, Ollie's got a lot of nice youngsters, and a lot of them have sort of won bumpers, placed in bumpers. I won two bumpers at Foss last the other day on Harbour Island and the Blue Room, which are two nice horses. I ride a horse up here in Perth called Will Star, which is actually a brother to John Bond. So they're three horses that I'm really looking forward to seeing over hurdles. And there's so many of them, but they'd be sort of the three standouts at the minute for next season.
That's why a champion, Sean. We asked for one, we got three. What a bonus. You've also got, I think, three rides decorations just coming in as we record on Thursday morning at Sandown. Let's start with Nardaran, I think it's pronounced, for Paul Nichols, was one of the early favourites. Looks an exciting enough prospect in the big 100 grand novice championship final. Decent chance, surely.
Yeah, no, looking forward to him. Haven't ridden for Paul Nichols for a good while. Obviously used to work for him when I was a conditional, so looking forward to riding for him again. Yeah, he's progressed with every run. He was obviously a good winner last time, still looked a bit green in front, so looks to have a nice chance, and it looks like a big handicap with a go strong gallop might suit him well.
Certainly is. Josh Gifford, novice handicap chase, 2.5 miles. You've got Classic Anthem, who's got some decent form around there in the past, for Jim Boyle.
Yeah, a horse that loves Sandown, has improved. His last run was a big improvement on all season, to be honest. He found plenty for pressure, which he probably hadn't done in the past. So, he's loves the track, which is obviously a big bonus around Sandown. And, I think he'd go there with a massive chance again.
Yeah, and fitting, I suppose, after you mentioned 96 winners for Ollie Murphy, you finish off with the boss for Resplendent Grey in the Bet 365 Gold Cup. I mean, some of his form's quite promising. He'd have to have an each-way chance, albeit against the Mullins Battalion.
Yeah, he's a tricky horse. He obviously has some good form. His fourth at Cheltenham behind Haiti Claw now obviously looks even better again. So, he's ran well around Sandown before. The 3.5 miles would be absolutely no problem, and he's a horse with a lot of ability, probably a little bit quirky, but he definitely goes there with a massive chance, very little weight on his back, and he's one I'm really, really looking forward to riding.
Good to hear. Sean, thank you so much for your time this morning, and huge congratulations on what's been a brilliant season. Amazing to follow all the way through and see you go one better after last year, not just for Wales as well, but of course for yourself. It's amazing to see, and going to be champion jockey on Saturday. We'll look forward to that. And of course, best luck with your free rides on the weekend at Sandown as well.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Good to speak to you.
Yes, a pretty marvellous season for Sean. And we've got a champion panel to look at the last day of the season at Sandown. In the top right, joining me is Keith Melrose. Bottom left, Johnny Pearson, our handicapper, and Unibet's Ed Nookson in the other corner. Let's get straight on to the action at Sandown. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it's, of course, that big ride between Dan Scout and Willie Mullins. One of them will be crowned champion trainer. We'll see what the panel think about the big title race as we look at our first race on the card, where Dan Skett will hope to get off to a flying start, the first runner across the weekend, which will see a Mullins or Scout runner in. This is the 150 at Sandown, the Bet 365 Josh Gifford novices handicap chase over 2.5 miles, where Risk in the Ground, who's been busy over the last few days, is your 7-2 favourite for the team Skelton. Classic Anthem, ridden by Sean Byrne, we've just heard, form at 9-2. Ida 11-2, Insurrection 13-2, Bad 13-2. Mark of Gold 8, Pick Rock 11s, Innit Star 12s, and Mahon's Glory 14s. Keith, we'll come to you first. What have you made of this title race?
It's a symbol of what's going on in the sport, isn't it? Mullins didn't bother until Cheltenham, and he needed the first three in a national, and he got it. And, you know, I'm looking at this card today. I bet an awful lot on intent, the intent that I can read from connections when they're putting a horse in a certain race. That is very hard when Mullins is just throwing stuff at the wall like he is at the moment. And it's got an unfortunate habit of sticking too. So I find it really hard. I don't like it. It's not good for my punting. And I see everything through the prism of what's going to win. I'm not that fussed about the human stories. I'm here to tell you what horses are interesting. I like horse racing on top of other sports because the athletes can't talk. And it's not for me. And, you know, Mullins is probably going to win it now. This is Skelton's only free hit, and it's with a horse that's run, you know, three times in the last couple of weeks. It's a really good race, though. It's a race I tend to like an awful lot. It's usually, they've jigged the order around because of the title race stuff. This is usually the last chase of the season, and it tends to be a good one. Horses that will be interesting next year. And, you know, I was down to 2 until you read the prices out there. Ide is sufficiently close to Mark of Gold's price. I thought Mark of Gold might be a really big price and therefore interesting, but Ide is the more interesting horse at the moment. He's shaped like the best horse in traditionally strong 3 mile novice handicap chases on his last two starts. Without in both times he's been outstayed, the suggestion is dropping back to 2.5 miles is going to suit him. And I think that's reasonable. He may just be a horse that wants a flatter finish, but for now, I'm more than willing to take that chance at 11-2. He's definitely still handicapped, well handicapped off 125. Horse I'm going to stay interested in next year, so it's eyed for me.
And some interesting thoughts there, Top Keith, on the Trainers' Championship. It has divided opinion, of course. The big title race in the last few weeks. If you've got a strong opinion, of course, do let us know in the comments as well as we find out who wins on Saturday. Let's come to Johnny, though, the 150. Who wins it for you?
I like Mahon's Glory for Dylan Cunha. He's obviously thriving on good ground at the moment, having had the, you know, been off since December through to March. He's won his last two races. He's getting better with each run. If you just need to go back to last summer, he's got good form in Highlander over 2.5 miles. Obviously had a really good season for Nicky Henderson. And I think he looks far too big a price to run close here. I mean, obviously the likes of Bad, you know, provided he can put what happened at Aintree behind him, he'll have a good chance as well. But I think Mahon's Glory's got a lot of upside for a horse that looks relatively well handicapped in him.
Yes, and let's come on to you, Ed. 14-1 outsider for Johnny. What do you think wins that? And of course, just a word on Sean Byrne, Ed. Pretty marvellous season he's had, isn't it?
Yeah, we've known Sean for a long time, haven't we, James? And it's brilliant that he's won the championship, given what happened last year especially. And he's been like a man possessed, isn't he, to try and win it this year. And he's riding better than ever before. That win in the Irish National was truly sensational. So, yeah, hats off to Sean. He made his name at Chepstow and then obviously loves Foss Lass as well. So a real Welsh hero. We should start here by saying this is the money back cash second and third offer from Unibet, our flagship offer, if you like, on the opening race. And for me, in betting, I like M&Ms, not the chocolates, but I like the M&Ms, which is momentum and motivation. And I think Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton are on a horse here who've got the momentum and they've got the motivation. We all know why. So I'm going to stick with Risk in the Ground, who's an improving chaser, has won quite a few, actually, 6 of his 18, but last two on this sort of ground. I just think he's there to win the race, obviously. And I think he'll be there or thereabouts. It's not a race I'm going to get totally involved in because, as the other guys have said, it is quite a good race with other opportunities for other horses. But yeah, Risk in the Ground will be my selection.
I was quite worried where that was going for a minute there, Ed, but we got there in the end, Risk in the Ground, a second selection, Ed, and keep teaming up on that one. We're going to leave a title race where it is and just focus on the actual trying to hunt down some winners on the last day of the season for you. But of course, do follow all the action on the Racing Post website with our live coverage throughout Saturday afternoon on that all-important title race where it could go right down to the wire. But we move on to the 2.25 at Sandown, the Bet365 Oaksea Chase, where we see Aintree winner Gaelic Warrior return. He's an 11-8 favourite. Pick Doherty, not seen since his win in the Ascot Chase at 5-2. He'll probably definitely been saved for this race, you'd think, having not run at Aintree. Gentlemen to me, 11-2. Boom Born for the Skeltons at 14s, along with Le Patron. Appreciate it and Classic Getaway at 16s. Hitman for Freddie Gingell, poised to become champion conditional on the weekend, also 16s. And Garlaw, the rank outsider at 28-1. Johnny Pearson, what do we like in the Oaksea?
Gaelic Warrior. I mean, he's the best horse in the race. The ground won't be a problem, Evan. Shaney handles decent enough ground at Aintree last time. And as Keith said earlier, whatever Willie Mullins seems to throw at something, most of it sticking at the moment. And he's the best out of a lot of the ones he's got in there. Pick Doherty, you know, like the ground and he likes going right-handed, but he's got a fair bit to find. The Gaelic Warrior just looks the best horse in the race and there's not a huge amount more to it for me.
Straightforward selection from Johnny. Do you agree, Keith?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, I'm not certain I'll actually bet in the race. I mean, part of me thinks, why is Gaelic Warrior still odds against? But at the same time, I struggle to see where the bounce back came from. I can't quite pin this horse down. Maybe isn't the most reliable in a lot of senses. But he is the most talented horse in the race. If you're opposing him, you're opposing him on the basis that he could blow out for reasons that I've never managed to pin down. But Pick Doherty is, you know, you can set your watch by him and he's back to his best now, after, as he's shown in the Ascot Chase, having spent probably a year in the wilderness, really. So, yeah, it was it's really tough race to price up. If you have the faith in Gaelic Warrior, and you know, going right-handed was always what they said was the key to him. If you think that's right and you think you want to stick with that, I think there's reason to get tucked in at 11-8. However, I still haven't pinned a horse down enough for me to say, you know what, lads, I'm going to, you know, get my punting boots on. It's a tough one to price up, but Johnny's assessment, he's the best horse, is right, and it's all about this horse. You know, Pick Doherty is the reliable alternative, but he is that. You know, Gaelic Warrior is the best horse by probably half a stone.
Yeah, still has that bit of enigma status about him, doesn't he, Gaelic Warrior, as we've seen throughout his career. But definitely the best horse in the race, your 11-8 favourite, and Keith and Johnny teaming up on that. Are we going to complete a hat-trick, Ed?
No, I think you take him on. First of all, we're industry best price in this race, so there's no need to go anywhere else from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, because we will be the biggest price on every horse at any time from 9 o'clock. I think you can take on the top two. I think Gaelic Warrior is too inconsistent for me. He is, as Keith says, he's by far the best horse in the race, but he does put in by far the worst performances of any of these horses sometimes. So I don't think I'd be taking him. First time at Sandown, Joe Chambers, who's the racing manager for Rich Ritchie, he'll be happy about that because he lives in Esher, so he won't have to go far to watch him. And Pick Dorney is an Ascot specialist. His last four wins have been at Ascot. I know it's the same way around. I think he's more likely to act around Sandown than Gaelic Warrior is, I think. I still don't trust Gaelic Warrior's dancing. I don't trust his dancing, but I don't trust his jumping, especially at Sandown. Everyone talks about the emphasis of those seven fences down the back, and I just think he's going to struggle with the fences if they go quickly, and Pick Dorney possibly will make it a test. So really, I've gone for the third horse. Once again, the M&Ms, Momentum and Motivation. Gentleman to me has one last time over the entry fences. Good horse in his time, finished second in the Champion Chase, albeit not particularly good Champion Chase last year. But he's come back to form. He's one of the best horses in the race anyway. Was running up in the mid-160s at the top of his career. And he's won the top and last time out. And this sort of distance seems to be one that he likes. So, yeah, I'm strongly against Gaelic Warrior, a little bit against Pick Dorney, and all in on Gentleman Demay.
I love it when we have a difference of opinion on this show. It's so much more fun. Let's see whether we all agree, though, on our third race, the 3 o'clock at Sandown, the Bet365 Select hurdle, one of those races. We mentioned the top show has been moved to accommodate ITV so we can watch all the action unfold for the Trainers' Championship. And Winnie Mullins has your favourite here in Kit's Ball, a first-time hood on the 15-8 favourite. Lucky place for Nick Henson at 9-4. James Burns stepping in with Nico de Boinville out of action. We'll have a quick update from Ed, who did the Unibet blog with Nicky this week. Find out what the latest is with the jockey ranks at 7 Barrows. Take No Chances for the Skeletons at 11-2. Salva 6-1. Blue King Daru at 15-2. And Gwenny May Boy at 16-1. Before we go on to this race in particular, Ed, what is the update regarding Nico de Boinville? Took a very nasty fall at Plumpton on Easter Monday.
Yeah, as I understood, I texted Nico yesterday. He's not looking too good. He's going to be out for 2 weeks, I think. And obviously the big ride's coming up over in Ireland. James Bowen's going to step in. I believe
that Constitution Hill, of course, we should say.
Yeah, Constitution Hill, I think, is going to... I think it's Friday. So if you're watching this on Saturday, it already happened. It will be old news. But I think it's... I think they're doing a few... popping over hurdles on Friday with James Bowen. And I think that's the plan for him to ride if everything goes well. But Nicky, we have done a podcast, a post, and he has said that it all depends on how he goes on Friday. So no firm decision as yet. And this might be old news if you're watching it on Saturday. But yeah, all the best to Nico. He does look the worst for wear in the photo that I saw. So all the best for him. In this particular race, I mean, Lucky Place was a horse that they all thought was going to progress into a stayer's hurdle horse. But the immediate aftermath of his run at Cheltenham suggested they didn't think he stayed, which they were surprised about. But so this drop back down is obviously one of the reasons. And this meeting traditionally, I mean, I know Mullins has kind of farmed it in recent years, but traditionally Nicky Henderson's horses always ran well here. I remember being with Nicky and Nico 4 or 5 years ago when they won, I think, 4 of the races. And this is exactly the sort of horse that wins these sort of races in terms of that he likes a spring ground. A lot of the horse has been running in deeper ground conditions over the season. And he's still relatively fresh, having only had three runs. So, yeah, I'm firmly stuck to the mast of Lucky Place. This was the Lossy Mouth race, wasn't it? So this was the two Lossy Mouths were going to run. But no, there's no problems with that now. That would have been a nightmare in the betting shops. But, yeah, so I think Lucky Place will prove, Sandown will prove to be a Lucky Place once again for Nicky Henderson.
Very nicely done. Johnny?
I'm going to see how many Willie Mullins favourites I can tip today. We're going to go with Kitzbühel. I don't think he stayed the 3 miles at Aintree. He was running all right, maybe slightly keen. They've gone for the hood this time. He's got good form earlier in the season over in Ireland. And I think he should step forward again. The drop, yeah, so the slight drop in trip here, so as it will for Lucky Place, I think. I don't think he stayed at Cheltenham. But I can't really see past Kitzbühel. For all, Salva will probably run well too. You know, it was a good run in the Jerry Field in November, and he's been running well, but being beaten by a decent horse in the mean line the last twice, so he can run well as well. But Kitzbühel, I think, will be very difficult to beat here.
Sure, Keith. Funny races, two mile, 5.5 a furlong at Sandown. Trip-wise, we were looking at two horses who went 3 miles and didn't really stay, including one that didn't really stay at Aintree, which is significantly less stamina than Sandown. Funny sort of race, but what would you like in it?
Yeah, it's a funny one in terms of, I mean, you don't want a real sort of out-and-out plodder, especially this time of year. Sandown's hurdles course can get very testing, but this meeting tends to be on pretty quick ground these days. They're happy to say, right, flat season started, especially after that debacle a couple of years ago where they watered and it got rained off. I thought Salver was faintly interesting at the prices. I think if you stuck Skelton or Mullins' name beside him, he's nearly half the price, which is not necessarily saying that's the price he should be, just saying that's the price that these horses with Skelton and Mullins are getting sent off. You know, he would have been close up behind Lucky Place had he not fallen at the last in the Royal Keel. Ran a really good race to be second to the Mean Lion at Windsor. You know, he's... And obviously, the Moor Yard, they do like to send one to, you know, this meeting. They like to send one to Sandown generally. And he just looks like a horse that has got a little bit more, you know, he's a little bit fresher than some of these are going to be potentially. You know, they've had their hard races at Cheltenham and Aintree. Whereas he's not. He ran in the National Spirit and hasn't run since. So, yeah, just not a bet with any great conviction. But at this time of year, when you've got horses that a lot of the time are over the top, we've got a horse here that's fresh, good chance on form, and is being overlooked.
Salva for Keith, and rest assured, if Robbie Wilders was pricing that race up, Keith, he would be shorter than 1.6, as you know, he loves a horse for the Gary Moore team, a Gary and Josh Moore team, should I say. Let's move on to the 3.35, our grade one action, the last domestic grade one of the season, the Bet 365 Celebration Chase, where we have John Bond bidding for a hat-trick. Mark Walsh takes the ride with Nico sidelined, and John Bond is your 1-2 favourite. Energome at 5-1 for the Mullins camp, along with L.A. Tom, first run in 359 days on Saturday. He's 6-1. Good old Edwardston at 12s, Master Chewy at 20s, and Stan Skelton's the two outsiders in Unexpected Party and good old Harper's Brook at 100-1. Johnny Pearson, is there any reason we should be taking John Bond on?
No, it's hard. Obviously, he made a mess of things at Cheltenham, but bar that, he would have had the perfect season, wouldn't he? Ilete Tom does go well fresh, and I can see him running well, but I can't go back in a horse that's got a bit to find on form and ratings and hasn't been seen for, what, over a year? How many days did you say?
359, so pretty much.
Yeah, near enough a year. And, you know, Nergamain hasn't looked the horse of old when I've seen him this season, and Edward Stone, probably he's got good form in the past. I mean, you just need to look through his form, and you see John Bond in front of him, and most of the times he's been seen in the last 12 months. So I won't be having a bet, but I can't go against John Bond here. I think he'll probably win. He's the best horse in there. And yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, John Bond, the 1-2 favourite there, Johnny, hard to take on. Keith, he's better at Sandown than anywhere, so that's the real advantage for him this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, he's a horse that... He's got a long stride and he's a good rhythmic jumper. That suits Sandown. I struggle to get him beat, but I will just put up a wee thought experiment here. We talk about jockeyship a lot. And I think if we were being entirely objective about things, Mark Walsh probably is a little bit of an uptick on Nico de Boinville. However, Nico's been the making of John Bond this season, you know, bouncing him out, riding him aggressively. That's the way to ride him, always has been. and Nico's unlocked it. So Mark Walsh can't sit. He'd rather sit than Nico would. Nico's always been an aggressive jockey. Mark Walsh, not so much. He needs to take a leaf out of Nico's book here. If he does, I think he wins. I don't think, again, I'll have a bet in the race. I think it's pretty mad that Energa means the same price as Elete Tomp, given we've not seen the horse for a year, the latter. And would he be running, were it not for the title race being on the line? We talk about incentives. That's one that's pretty clear to me. So I just think Energumen, who, yes, hasn't been the horse he was, but has still shown really high-class form, certainly should be shorter than Elete Tomp. I'm not sure it'll spark me into having a bet, but that was just something I observed for the prices.
Interesting. Ed, do we know anything from the Nick Henson camp regarding John Bonn? Is he firing ahead of the weekend?
We're just about to the blog, so I haven't spoken to him. But, all systems go for a long time for this race. It's really simple, this. I can give it in stats. 18 wins from 22 runs. 13 from 16 chase. 5 out of 5 at Sandown. 6 out of 6 in April. And he's a 10 out of 10 bet for me. John Bonn wins.
There you go. Straightforward. Sorry, I wasn't expecting to be so quick from you, Ed. Let's move on to 4-10 at Sandown, the Bet 365 Gold Cup. A whopping 10 runners in this race for Willie Mullins. It's worth £175,000. It's the last big staying handicap chase of the season. And your favourite is High Class Hero at 4-1. Dancing City 6-1. Grange Clare West third in the Grand National itself at 3-1. Last year's winner Manella Kakuna at 7-1. Resplendent Grey. We know Sean Byrne thinks this one has a good each way chance at 8-1. Transmission and Ho Jolie Smoke 12s. 14-1 bar. Johnny Pearson, what wins the Bet 365 Gold Cup?
I'm going to take a chance on one that finished down the field in the Scottish National, and that is Olympic Man. Johnny Burke's got the ride for Willie Mullins on this one. I think his jumping's looked questionable on numerous occasions this season when I've seen him, but the hood hopefully will settle him a bit better. He was a bit keen at air for the Scottish National last time, and you know, it would have been a bit closer had not been hampered by a faller later on. I think there's a serious engine in there. It's just whether it all comes together on a day. And I think if it all comes together, he could be very high class and a really good stayer in there for the next couple of seasons.
22-1 with Unibet as it stands. Ed, what have you got for us?
Well, first of all, it's an extra place race, which you would expect. Traditionally, one of the best races of the season, as we know. Unusually, I don't really have a strong selection for myself, but we are going the extra place. And while going through the form, I think it's a really tricky race. I think Grange Clare West would have won the National when he jumped the last. We certainly would have got second, I think. But I'm kind of going to give a chance to Manella Kakuna again. Having watched the replays of the National, he ran really well. Obviously, saddle slip late on as well. Loves this track, obviously won it last year. He's only rated, 155, won it off 151. So he's there or thereabouts. A nine-year-old, same as the Grange Clare West. And I just thought he was worth another go at this same kind of handicap mark. And he's obviously a horse that's remained in form. Although you look at the form figures and you wouldn't think it, that seventh in the Grand National obviously was a good run. So, yeah, I'm my selection is Manella Kakuna, but it is, as ever, a really difficult race. So not one that I'm going to actually have a bet in this year.
I want to ignore for Ed. Keith, the big Gold Cup on Saturday. Talk us through your thinking for it.
Well, yeah, it's a really classy race, but we talked about incentives earlier. We're left guessing for 10 of the runners because that's how many Mullins has thrown in. You know, how many of these would be running were there not a trainer's title on the line? One. Two, you know, we're not talking many here. That is, it really makes it a tough race. And I can't think, it's a really classy race on paper, but there's a big disparity between the class of the race and this type of race it is, because it's a staying handicap chase. I love them. And my betting interest, to be honest, it's just, I'm finding it really tough. The one I thought I would put forward is Dancing City, because he was a spring horse last year, really came to hand to win at Aintree and at Punchestown. He jumped right at Aintree last time in the Caldwell Potter race, was still there when he fell, having jumped sort of right way through that race and gone quite freely. Big field handicap at a right-handed track seems ideal. I think he'll stay as far as you want him to. and obviously got that spring form, so I'm really not that worried about the ground. So I thought of the horses in here, he was the one that made a lot of sense, but this could be a bit of a red letter day, and it might be a Bet365 Gold Cup / Whitbread that I won't bet in.
Who would have thought? I think with Dance City, a very interesting point that you make. It's that time, it usually doesn't happen this early at all, but that time when you see this good novice form reached back into handicaps, you sort of learn how strong that form is. It sort of clashes. Usually it's October, November time we're getting to understand how much value there is in this form. Rarely are we seeing it at the end of the season. So,
well, that's right.
And to see how Dance City goes on.
It's also like this normally in a normal sort of race, like in a Bet365 Gold Cup, often the autumn form comes back.
Yeah.
A lot of the time the horses get put away from midwinter and they'll go, oh, we'll come back for the Whitbread, lads. And that's the race for them. You know, usually the Badger Beer has been a surprisingly excellent trial for this race in recent years. It's all out the window this year because Mullins just runs every staying chase that he's got that's ready. So it's a really weird race.
The Badger Beer is no trial for any race, Keith. It's the absolute biggest and most important race of the season, as you well know. Just a little bias as the West Country correspondent, of course. Let's move on to the last race at Sandown, the Bet365 Handicap Hurdle over 2 mile, 4 furlongs. The final race of the jump season, and no surprise, who has the favourite? It's Willie Mullins's Jump Allen at 9-2, Mostly Sunny, a winner earlier this week at Plumpton, 5-1. Push the Button for the Tristan Davis team, 13-2. Bunting looking to hit the bullseye at 7-1. Dr. Eggman and Ike Sport also at 7-1. Got Grey, 17-2. Electric Mason and Peacenik at 12-1. And King Alexander, 18-1 outsider. Keith, final race of the jump season. Who is going to win?
I've no idea. It's not a race I follow particularly. I'm just fascinated. Why is there a horse called Dr. Eggman? Who between Mullins and Richie and whoever else has that connection with Sonic the Hedgehog? Like, it's fascinating. But anyway, people want to know what horse is going to win. I don't have a view on that. But yeah, that was just something that I was looking at. Why is there a horse called that? But no, there's no bet in this race. It's not the sort of horses that I know. You know, I'll be looking out for some of these as chasers next year, to be honest.
Yes, Sonic the Hedgehog, not on my book to appear in the postcast this season, but there we are. Johnny?
He's not a bad little horse, Dr. Oakman, for what it's worth. But I've got to go with Chris Gordon and Freddie Gordon here. He's had a horrible bug go through the yard earlier on in the year. His horses weren't right. And, you know, you see he wasn't having really any winners. The horses weren't running well. But he's had a couple of winners of late. And he was going to run at Plumpton, but the ground was a little bit fast. He's got really good form. If you look back to sort of the Challow Hurdle, and even before that, form with a new line, obviously was so impressive at Cheltenham Festival. Okay, he then went and won at Fontwell in a bit of a nothing race. But if you put a line through his run at Cheltenham where Chris Gordon's horse is running terribly, you'd be looking at form with a new line, taking a really sort of positive interest in it. And if he can get anywhere near, you know, if he can sort of improve on that, I can see him running a big race.
And Johnny, of course, mentioning the Chris Gordon horse, a cracking run on the start of a week for our champion, the Sussex Champion Hurdle. May have won if it wasn't for that pesky Willie Mullins coming over an excellent third, eh?
Nightmare, absolute nightmare. Can't escape him at Plumpton. What are you meant to do?
Not often you see a Melbourne Cup fifth at Plumpton, but there we are. What do you like in the last, Ed?
Same as Keith. We both might not have a bet in the big staying handicap chase at the end of the season. And I don't have a bet in this race. I think going back to the M&Ms, my selection was going to be Mostly Sunny because obviously the momentum and the motivation is there. And I was impressed by that performance at Plumpton and only got a £6 penalty, has improved for the better ground and the cheap pieces. And he gets both of those again on Saturday down the bottom of the handicap. Wouldn't it be great if it came down to this race for the championship? Not a bet, but Mostly Sunny to me looked like the more likely winner than maybe even the Mullins horses.
Mostly Sunny for Ed. Well, our panel may not be too strong on the selections at Sandown, but fear not, because we have two races still to cover at Haydock and Leicester and some strong selections to come after this short break. Okay, Okay, so we move on to part two of the show where we're looking at two other races away from Sanaa. First one is at Leicester, where the ground is good to firm in places at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon. This is the 205, the Carling King Richard III Cup over 6 furlongs, where your favourite is completely random at 4-1. Trilby 9-2, Sergeant Wilco and Billy Joe 13-2, Strike Red and Acadian Thunder at 9-1. Keith, there's something different about this race in the last few years. It's certainly changed the look in the last few years.
Yeah, it was the Richard III's always been the big race at Leicester, but it was for a long time a 7-furlong conditions race. They turned it into a mile handicap a couple of years ago. That was a lukewarm success, we'll say, probably at best. And they've gone, I know what pool of horses never runs out, lads. It's 6-furlong, not 205s. Because how many, we see hundreds of these through the season. And they're always competitive, to be fair, and they've got a competitive field here for this one now. They've turned this race into a 6-furlong race. Now, I follow the sprints during the flat season. I don't do many races at Leicester because I do not to 85 generally and up, and Leicester doesn't tend to get that many good sprints. So I'm a little bit feeling my way in with where they race on the track. I know it's not necessarily sort of real bias, especially when the ground's a bit quicker. But I just thought completely random did so well to win at Southall last time. You don't win from off the pace like he was over 5 at Southall, the straight 5 there. It's a really quick track. And he was right at the back and he came through to win. Now, the leaders, the sectional show, the leaders did go a hair fast. The race finishing speed was like 98%. However, the second and third, Rhythm and Hooves and Almaty Star, have been up there all the way. So they didn't obviously go suicidally quick up front. Completely random, though, picked them up like they were standing still, won very well. He'd been campaigned over a little bit further in his youth as well, so I think going back to 6 will be fine. He just looks like a horse to follow in the short term, so completely random for me is this election.
Right favourite. Do you think they got the right favourite, Ed?
Yeah, I'd gone for completely random as well, mostly for the reasons that Keith has said. Obviously, this 6 furlongs... further than the 5, but also slightly uphill at the end. So I think it will suit the way that he runs, and it does tend to suit horses that come from off the pace at Leicester. And he's a lightly raced horse, up £6 from his last victory, which I concur with Keith. It, to the eye, looked if it was a great performance. Going away at the end, I just thought he was a young improver, really. And again, he's going to be fit from the all-weather, which a lot of these horses aren't, and he's got the momentum. So that's the one for me too.
Are we going to complete a hat-trick, Johnny?
No, that'd be boring, wouldn't it? I actually quite like Billy Joe for Mick Appleby. I mean, Mick Appleby hasn't had a winner for the best part of a month, but his horse has been in reasonable form. I was watching his race back at Doncaster earlier, and it didn't go that far. So he was held up on the group which had the winner in, actually, and he was a bit too far back. It took a while to pick up. He finished the race pretty well, and if he steps forward on that, I think he should be going very close. And with, you know, fair sort of each way places and a fair price here, I think he's a pretty solid bet for me.
Let's move on to Haydock then. The 240 at Haydock, the Tri-Unibet same day race multis handicap. Ed, I'll let you explain that shortly. We'll just go through the prices for this race. We've got the Royal Ascot winner, English Oak, top of weights and top of the betting, 9-2. Joint favourite with Mayal at 9-2. Suzuka at 11-2. Thunder Roar 7s. Ramazan 8-1. Salunian Bay 8-1 as well with Yorkshire. Ed, tell us about same day race multis and your selection.
Yeah, it's been very popular in Australia, where we have a company, Unibet. And we've kind of endorsed it into the UK only a few weeks ago. So what it is, succinctly, it's like a bet builder for racing. You can bet on horses to win, obviously one to win, and then if there are 2 places or 3 places or 4 places, you can also back a horse to place in the same race, or 2 horses to place, and it gives you a price. It generates a price from the overall market odds. So it's think a bet builder for racing, and that's it, basically. And we're trying to promote it at the moment. So we sponsor the whole card at Haydock, and this is the one on ITV that we're sponsoring. As for a selection, who improved last year, won 4 times, funnily enough, for 4 different jockeys, which you don't normally see, and came back this season at Doncaster. Doncaster in a good race. When he travelled the best in my mind, went to the front two furlongs out, hauled early on a long pull over a mile, and once he won, got that run under his book. I just think he's a really good selection here, and he'll take a lot of beating.
Okay, Mile is a selection for Ed there. He's just had a quick move of places. Keith, what's your selection?
Yes, it's another interesting race. I was faintly interested in Ramazan. I think this might be these right conditions, but maybe the Victoria Cup for him. I'm seeing a lot of Richard Fye horses in particular that are to get that run to get them fit at this time of year, and there's still a lot of that going on. I thought Yorkshire was the one that was overpriced potentially. He's been improving on the all-weather of late, but you could have been running those races in any surface, he'd have been improving, because that's just where that horse is in his career. He ran second here in September last year. That was basically a career best at the time, and he's kept on improving since. And he now comes in race fit. You know, a lot of those runs have been spaced out. He's now getting going. You know, his last run was only a couple of weeks back. So he is ready to go. I just think he's being overlooked a little bit at those odds.
And finally, Johnny, your selection in the 240 at Haydock.
Yeah, I won't be having a bet, but I'll certainly be keeping an eye on a couple. Most, I mean, the Crisford Yard's going pretty well. So Telemark's obviously an interesting runner. But Skakuza for Ed Dunlop's got Ross Ryan on board. He's second in the Britannia, I think it was, at Royal Ascot. Hasn't been seen since. Behind a horse called Mickley that day, is now plying his trade out in Hong Kong. But it'll be interesting to see what he can do, having been off since Royal Ascot, and what sort of form he turns up. But he looked a horse going certainly in the right direction back when we last saw him.
Okay, we'll be finding out what the panel's best bets for the weekend are after this short break.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Right, it's that time of the show where we hear what our best bets are. Johnny, you've got a big price nap for us. What is it?
It's going to be Olympic Man in the big one at Sandown.
That's at 4.10. Keith?
Yeah, for me, it's on the flat. It's a 2.05 at Leicester, and it is completely random who did so well to win it for the last time.
I'm going to take on the favourite in the 3 o'clock. I'm going to go for Lucky Place in the 3 o'clock at Sandown. And finally, Ed.
Yeah, in the 240 at Haydock, the tri-unibet same race Maltese handicap, I'm going to go for Mayall, who won four times last year, ran really well on debut, third at Doncaster. Think he can go two spaces higher, and is my winning nap, hopefully, Mayall in the 240 at Haydock.
Thank you very much to all our guests. In the top right, Keith Melrose, our betting editor, Johnny Pearson, handicapper just below me, and in the other corner, Unibet Ed Nicholson. If you're a fan of the show, do, of course, make sure to rate, review and subscribe and follow the Racing Post all across this weekend for the action across the Trainers' Tide race. Also, should say a good thank you and a very much congratulations to Sean Byrne, our special guest on the show, on his champion title. You can join us again at 7 o'clock next week, because the flat season is back. We'll be looking at the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas as the classics return. But until then, enjoy this weekend's racing. We hope you've enjoyed all our coverage through the jump season, of course. Enjoy the action and, of course, gamble responsibly.